Hello, welcome to the big show. Yes, this is all the big tech stories of the week that have gone on, all the big things that are really going to affect your tech life going forwards. But there's no Apple. No Apple at all. We're just talking here about the other tech. If you want to know about Apple, go and do the Mac show. We've just done it. But this one is all about the general users. Joining me, great panel, as ever. Fantastic bunch. Starting us off, top left, it's Atlee.
Hey.
Mr. New Air Conditioning Unit Man.
Yeah, didn't need it. Didn't need this weekend. We got 6 inches of snow on Sunday.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was horrible. Everything was all clear. And we were all excited about being able to let the dogs go out and play and take them for walks and everything else. And woke up Sunday morning and six inches of snow on the ground. It was ridiculous.
That's not barely enough to cover a sole of a shoe, is it? Oops.
Enough to cover the top of your shoe.
Fair enough. What have you been up to apart from digging yourself out of very little snow?
Just a lot of organizing and trying to get things ready for the new shows. I've been trying to get things packed up so that we're ready to go with them and get them going on a steady basis and trying to make sure that once we start, we don't stop.
What, the shows?
Yes.
Which shows are these?
Microsoft show.
Oh, that'd be so cool if we had that on the network, yeah.
I know.
I'm trying to make out like you haven't been promising this for 8 months, but go on, carry on.
Yeah. I haven't.
Oh, no, mate, that'd be so cool. Yeah, great. What else?
I think this show is like the air power of podcasts.
Yeah. Dude, that's going to rock when it comes.
It will.
I hope I'm still alive.
Well, you keep dropping weight like that, there won't be anything of you left to watch it.
Yeah.
We'll put it up and have a broken link.
Someone said something to me the other day and they went, you'll get to the end of that and realise that it's actually cancer that's caused the weight loss. I'm like, thanks for that. Cheers. Thanks, man. I love you too.
That's fantastic.
Jeffrey, you're next. Long time no see, hour and a half.
I know. It feels like it's been forever. I have been missing you so much. And just so you know, I think you look young with or without your glasses.
Thanks, man. Now, have you actually spent an hour and a half having lunch, or have you spent an hour and a half in deep fake porn?
I actually did go have lunch.
I thought you were going to say I did actually go watch porn.
Yeah, no, that was... No, the Mac show was all about deep fake porn. It wasn't intended to be, but it just kind of steered that way a little bit.
It's just where it went.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
We were all along for the ride.
And you can't fight it.
And it wasn't one of my links.
No, it wasn't one of your links.
Surprisingly, and
actually, this was the thing, because you look at the shit that Muller posts in the chat room, and he gets away with it. And then I post the Pornhub link in, and it won't let me. I had to put spaces after porn and hub. Look, let me put the word porn in, but that's all. So. But it was worth doing. If you scroll up those that are in the chat room, you'll find it. Oh, you won't if you joined afterwards. So bad luck. It's gone.
Oh, sorry. They can. Everyone missed out.
They can go back onto
the... I'm pretty sure deep fake porn will come up with a few results, shall we say. And last but by no means least, he sat patiently through the Mac show, didn't say a bloody word. But, oh, look, you can see my National Rail Award in the back. Look behind you. Yeah, on the messy desk.
Oh, right, because of my bed.
National Rail Award. They gave me an award for my Sentry camera system. But we got a highly commended award, which there wasn't, yeah. And there's a monolith behind, and they sent me a picture of a monolith and said, you can use this on all your emails and stuff. So I thought, oh, that's cool. And I thought, bollocks, I'm getting one made. So I've got the joinery shop behind. They made me one up, and I got someone to put a graphic on the front. So I've made my own monolith. Bollocks to them. Muller, what have you been doing, mate?
Well, last Friday, I didn't come.
Stressful week.
Oh, yeah, it has been, yeah. But I basically forgot the wife's birthday.
That would make it a stressful week.
So I had to take her to the garden centre, and I spent more than what I normally do on her. She forgot about it.
That was guilt, mate. You were guilted.
I was definitely guilted. Yeah, but anyway. So.
And then you took an old bloke who shouldn't be driving to go and buy a new car.
Yeah.
That was irresponsible of you.
Unfortunately, you can't stop him driving if he doesn't. If he could have gone somewhere else and bought it anyway, so it was better that someone got it
Someone got to commit you to commit the offence. Yeah.
Well, it's no offence because he's got a driving licence, he's got insurance, and unfortunately, this country doesn't control old people.
But didn't they make you drive it home for him?
Yeah, because they didn't want to.
But you hadn't got insurance.
Also, I hadn't got fully comp.
No, that's a myth that you get third party in other cars. That's a myth, mate.
No, it's not. It's on my driving.
I'd double check that, mate. I'd go home and check, and you're going to ring me in the morning and apologise and be horrified that you've just driven without insurance. An ex-copper as well.
I know, I checked. I got third-party cover.
No.
I got third-party cover as long as I got permission to drive.
The big show, the week in tech, all the shiz that's gone on. Who's got the first story? Fire it up.
Go in. Always.
Oh, Atlee.
Oh, Atlee was
like
faster.
A bullet. Microsoft's ebook store, when this closes, your books will disappear as well. You know, you're supposed to be, you're on mute, mate.
I know.
Yeah, so anyways. You know you're supposed to be pro Microsoft, right?
Yeah, I know.
Okay, fair enough. As long as we get that cleared up.
Yeah, that's fine. But the thing is that just because I'm pro Microsoft doesn't mean I have to agree with everything they're doing or only focus on the good things that they're doing. This is actually more of a public service announcement for people that have any of the books that they bought through the store. If they don't go and get them by July 17th, I think it is, they won't be able to get them. But it also brings up another interesting thing that actually when you buy things like ebooks, you actually don't own them. It doesn't matter where you're getting them, whether you're getting them from Audible or Kindle or any of those things. What you're paying for is access to get to the books.
Yeah, I mean, that's the same with any entertainment content.
Yeah, and as soon as you stop your subscription, all those things that you've paid for that you've supposedly bought.
It's licensed.
And that's the thing, right, is that in Audible they give you a license, and when you pay your subscription fee, your subscription comes with a free book or a free thing each month, and our free credits that you can either use to get a book or to pay or to bundle up and get a bigger and more expensive book later on. But those things you don't own. You don't actually own them. You're getting them with the idea. And I think my problem with that is the concept is blurred. The concept of ownership is now so blurred among content. Like when I used to buy a record or buy a CD or buy a DVD or a movie or anything else, I own those things. Now I pay the same price for the same content. But if the company goes down or whatever, I've now lost it. I don't have access to movies that I paid full pop for. I don't have access to music I paid full pop for.
Yeah.
And that to me is a big problem. And it's, I mean, the newer generation that this is all they know doesn't have the concept of ownership anymore of any kind of content.
Well, you never owned it though. Even when it was on a CD, the thing is
no one could just go, oh, well, you know, if the record store down the street closed down, it doesn't mean they came back to my house and got my CDs and I couldn't listen to them.
No,
anymore.
It doesn't. But if you get a notification to stop playing it, then...
Oh, yeah.
And return the CD, you're only holding the CD under license. The content is only ever licensed. It's never owned.
I've never, ever heard of anybody that wasn't trying to use it for commercial purposes ever get a thing saying you have to bring the CD back that you bought.
No, I know that.
Like that's an extreme situation.
So just to be clear.
Now when you're buying content, you're actually beholden to the business decisions that the company you bought the content from, that they make. And you could literally spend hundreds of dollars only to find out that stuff that you have now, you've got to go find another provider to pay hundreds of dollars again to get the same content back.
So the week after Edison invented the wax cylinder, this mm-hmm. was in place. This is not news, mate.
Yeah.
The real news here, Microsoft had a bookstore.
And that's true. I mean, a lot of people didn't realize that. But this is, I think that also this speaks, this is one of the casualties of Microsoft's browser being changed to a Chrome engine. Because right now, the Microsoft browser is built to read ebooks. You can read ebooks through them and you can annotate them. You can do all sorts of things. That functionality will go away, apparently, in the new browser. So it also brings up a thought of what's this new browser going to be and what's the purpose of it? I mean, they don't have browser market share, so now they're adopting another browser engine having less features and worse performance. It just seems... You know, it's just part of a long conversation that is confusing to say the least from a technical standpoint.
Troubles with music these days, everyone's going, well, particularly youngsters, they don't buy music anymore. They just go Spotify or Apple Music or whatever, and they're just not interested in purchasing it. I mean, certainly, if I was younger, I probably wouldn't have any CDs now. I'd probably just...
But that's where the model of licensing should have been in the first place. You should have only ever had a CD on lease that you had to return.
I'll rip it first.
No, you know what I mean.
So you're saying that realistically we should have never actually had bookstores. We should have only had libraries. You went to the library, signed up, book, read it.
Yeah, no,
paid $30 to read it, and then brought it back.
What the internet and other services have given us is the ubiquity to actually go and take items and be able to deliver that model. When actually, because of the fact we hadn't got the technology to deliver the model, we had to rely on giving out hard copies.
Mm-hmm.
If the internet had been around 100 years ago, we'd have had subscription-based models from the start.
Mm.
Okay, that's the end of that then.
Well,
there you go.
Well, I got most of my music through Britannia Music Club. Do you remember that? That was like a subscription.
Oh, my God, yeah. They had no end of money out of me, and I got sod all out of it.
Yeah, you pay what?
You used to forget.
You used to get at least one CD a month, didn't you, if you didn't... Didn't tell them what you wanted.
Oh, those clubs.
You
okay.
You got to choose, didn't you?
And in the United States, it was Columbia Music House, but yeah.
Yeah.
But if you didn't send in your request, you got any shit that they wanted to give you, and it was like an old KTEL thing that they'd put onto...
Now that's what I call crap music.
And there was always a Donny Osmond track on it.
Oh, good times.
Oh, God, yeah. No, I just say that the concept of ownership, like... I don't know. It just I found that I tend to read books a number of times, right? And so it just, to me, it kind of bothers me to have lost the ability to do that now. No way I want to pay $30 every time I want to read a goddamn book.
Is that where the benefit of Alzheimer's lies? You can't remember the book, so you have to read it again and again and again and again.
The thing is, though, the article does say
it's called Groundhog Book. Sorry, mate. Go on.
Microsoft are giving them the money back.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. Actually, yeah, they are. Microsoft has done pretty good as far as when they kill technologies, they don't completely screw over the customers. Even with the Microsoft Band, I knew people that had their Band 2 for 2 years. And when they announced that they were getting rid of the Band, they brought their used Band back to the store and got their full purchase
price
back.
There's a person in this podcast directly below you who that happened to.
Yeah, what? Yeah. And got his full money back. And that happened to a number of people.
Well, I had the two, and it broke, and I sent the thing back, and Microsoft was just, yep, no problem, here's your dosh.
Yeah.
Same.
So you borrowed it for free, and you just let them hold on to money for a little while.
I had two Band 2s, and I had them for free for a year and a half.
Yeah.
Thank you, Microsoft.
And Withings. That gave me a brand new watch and a weighing scale.
To be fair, though, Mullet, yours was full of water because it was shit.
Yeah, but they still gave me a brand new updated one.
And to be fair, actually, the Microsoft Band was shit as well because the band had broken and it had disconnected the battery. So there you go.
Well, that was
the band had a huge flaw in the design. There was basically a very thin power line that went through it. And if the band got bent... a number of times that very quickly wore down and separated, and the battery was all in one end of the device by the clasp, and then you had the device itself that needed the battery power. It was just a horrible design for how they had done that. It was just a big flaw, but it was, I really liked the features on it. The features on it were way ahead of the time at the time, and it's just a shame they couldn't get a design that worked properly.
Yeah, it's also a shame they couldn't actually produce them. When the original Band came out, I wanted to get one so bad. And so I went on the waiting list. And by the time by the time I would have finally come to the top of the list, Band 2 had come out. And then Band 2 was canceled. So
no, Band 3. Band 3 was canceled.
Or whatever. Yeah. By the time... I could have potentially floated to the top of the list and gotten one, that the whole product line was gone.
Yeah. It was actually funny because at the time they were releasing the Band 1, I was actually in Seattle at a Microsoft conference at Microsoft and going to the store in their flagship original store that was in Redmond at the time, went there and they were there. I think they were sold out in about 5 or 6 minutes. And there were about 6,000 people at the conference and probably about 4,000 of them wanted to buy the damn bands and they couldn't keep stock. And I was amazed at the fact that they could have a conference. And first of all, this people at the store had very little idea the conference was happening, which astounded me. How could you have a flagship store and not let them know, hey, there's going to be 6,000 people that are pretty keen on our products. You might want to, you know, up your stock a little bit. And it was just, for me, it was just, it showed their whole distribution model was just flawed right from the very beginning.
Boy, howdy.
Mm. Well, there you go.
But anyways, so if you've got any books in from the Microsoft store and you want to get them, you need to get them.
Buy a camera.
For July 17th, or if you want to get a refund, you can actually get a refund.
Buy a camera and photograph your Kindle page by page and then make a PDF out of it.
Oh my God, that's so crazy. It just might work.
Of course it'll work. Get it in preview. It's going to be a massive file size. You're going to be talking like gigabytes for 30 pages of, so.
War and Peace per terabyte, a terabyte for War and Peace.
It'll work. It'll just be shit.
Can't you just get a paper and pen and trace over it?
Oh, that would be even better, wouldn't it? And then you'd have real paper.
Yeah.
I got to say, though, if you're tracing, you won't be doing double-sided, will you? Because that would be just illegible. I mean, let's not get silly.
Or go to an independent bookstore.
Oh, wow, radical. Get your money back. Go buy the real thing. And then the bookstore's going to call you up and say, sorry, mate, we're going out of business. You've got to bring the book back.
Microsoft should have done a deal with Amazon and give them their money back as Amazon vouchers. Microsoft would have great publicity out of it. Yeah, that's
there's time.
Yeah,
there's time. Jeff, your story. Google cancels AI ethics board in response to outcry. Well, that was quick because we only talked about it last week.
I know. I felt obligated to bring this up since we talked about the AI board last week. So apparently the people that they announced were going to be on that initial board turned out to be so controversial that Google employees were signing petitions to have these people yanked off the board and have different people put on. And there's pressure being put on the people to just quit the board. And some of them were saying, yeah, no, we're not going to do that. And so it took just a week for Microsoft or Google to go from, hey, we're starting this AI ethics board to, yeah, never mind. We're just not going to do it at all.
Oh, that's the whole point. That's the issue with the story. It's like, we're going to complain because you've got the wrong people on the ethics board. Okay, I'll tell you what, we're going to be unethical. And see how you like that. At least we were trying earlier. Now bollocks to you all.
Yeah, so I guess now it's a thing where Google says, look, you know, when our AI went crazy and started making Terminator robots and killing all the people and culling the rest for food, well, you know, it's your own fault because you made us get rid of the AI board.
That's true. Yeah, that's it. It is. It's going to be Hunger Games.
Maybe that's not necessarily too far off of the idea of they thought of in the beginning.
Hunger Games by Google, and there's loads of those dynamic Boston Dynamic robots trotting around looking to kill the punters. We'll all be in zones. Zone one.
Amazon drones will be flying around beside you. People show me that people that are in Hunger Games like.
Zone one's going to be full of Google employees, and then all the other zones, capital zone. Sergey Brin's going to be stood. He's going to be the guy, the Donald Sutherland character with the white beard.
Yeah. Well, okay, so now I'm wondering, if Google just caved and ditched the board that easily, was this board really going to be of any value anyhow?
That doesn't smack of cave to me. That smacks of Teddy in the corner, mate.
So what's Teddy in the corner?
I think it's a cave.
No, I think Google said, right, bollocks then. We're not going to be ethical at all. It is, because they haven't appointed other people. They haven't got rid of the people that were going to be complete bastards, allegedly, according to the people that were complaining. They've just said, right, bollocks, we won't be ethical.
Yeah, that's kind of how it feels.
Yeah, good on them as well. That's like, you see what you've done? You see, we tried, and no, you didn't like our choices, so we're going to take our ball home.
So now all the death robots, it's all on you. I hope you people are happy now.
Exactly. The people have chosen, mate. It's like Brexit, but we're not doing politics. It's the Google version of Brexit. They've said, right, okay. It's a no-deal exit for Google from the ethics lounge.
Did you hear that Brexit has become a term that goes beyond just the general Brexit thing? So now it's something that you say about someone if they say, hey, I'm leaving, but then they keep hanging around like at a party. But you're like, yeah, Ewan said he was leaving an hour ago, but he's totally Brexiting over at the...
do you know what is so shameful about that joke? Is that a bloke in Boulder, although fairly worldly, gets the holy shitstorm that we're currently in this country and knows enough about it to take the piss out of me for it. That's a shame.
It is kind of a funny joke, though.
I don't care whether you're a Brexiteer or a Remainer. That's shameful that an American can take the piss out of us for our politics. Because look at their politics, and then you think he's got the friggin' high ground.
I know.
He doesn't have the high ground, but he's at least spitting across the river at you.
Yeah, I mean, I am in target-rich territory for crazy political jokes.
Deep Pan's put, right then, bollocks. We're now Google, do loads of evil.
Oh, that's Apple's new logo.
Google, do all evil.
Do all evil. Not even partial, just all.
All of it, just all of evil.
Yeah, the new Google art is going to be Beelzebub.
Going to slap a baby while kicking a cat. Let's go.
Fuck me, mate. Steady on. Sorry, Jeff, go on. You were saying something sensible. Now you're having a drink, so you don't have to. But now you can. I'm filling for you, mate.
But I don't remember what it was now.
Oh, bad luck, mate. Welcome to old age.
I know. This is the worst. But the jokes will be funny again tomorrow.
Oh, mate, it's shameful. It is shameful that an American can take the piss out of our political system. I can't do it. So what's going to happen to Google? Because the thing is, they've still got the do no evil thing, haven't they, in the mission statement. So they've got to...
No, they don't.
Have they taken that out?
Yeah, that's been gone for
go under Schmidt? A
couple of years now.
Sturmführer Schmidt took that out.
Yeah, they've got a new one. Let's be more like Apple.
They don't do. They don't say don't do evil. They say redefine evil.
Evil, you're holding it wrong.
No, that's how Apple defines evil. You're looking at it wrong. No, they just changed the search results for what's evil.
Yeah, every time you type in evil, the first result is not Google. Right, a page on their servers.
Isn't it Trump?
That's clever.
If you type idiot, it really is too. If you type idiot and look at the pictures, the first pictures are all Trump.
Oh no, that happened.
Oh, according to the story, Jeff, it did all kind of crumble around them because K. Carl James was on the petitions for removal, but in the end, Alessandro Acquisti just resigned.
She resigned from what? From the race?
Yeah, she just resigned. And then another member, Joanna Bryson, defending her decision not to resign. Believe it or not, I know worse about one of the other people. So she turned on her fellow board members, found themselves swapped with demands that they were justifying their decision to remain on the board. So they all just, Google said stuff, it would quit it. So.
Oh, okay.
I'm paraphrasing the last bit. That was me leaping to the end.
Right, because they're in the United States, so they would have said screw it instead of stuff it. Yeah.
It's done and dusted.
Yeah.
Did Google just let this go away? It's like, we did this as a publicity thing, and so now we don't have to do it again, or have they got to rekindle it?
I think they're just done with it.
Hold on, did you just say rekindle?
Rekindle, yes.
Oh. Yeah, that was a deliberate one, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't. But Amazon owned the Kindle, not Google, you moron.
Yeah, but you said rekindle it, so it's still a play on words. On the other one.
Oh, okay. On story one. Get you. Got you. No problem, mate.
Yeah, I think Google's done with the whole AI ethics board thing. It's not going to come back.
Right. Unethical Google. Show title. Or something like that. I have to keep thinking chat room on that one. Google Evil, no longer in beta. Well done, Big Fan.
Finally, awesome. Something came out of beta at Google.
Ethics is out of beta. Have you got a story, Muller, or what?
Yep. I'm staying off the social media a little bit, but
mate.
Fortnite shall be banned, says Prince Harry, and his discussions on social media. He's kind of blaming not just social media for mental health, but the game Fortnite. And I could imagine if we had Ellis here now, he'd be raging.
He's a bit pissed off actually at the minute. He doesn't play as much of it as he used to.
But he's saying it's a toxic game. And to be honest with you, I've not really played it. I had a quick look a couple of times, but it does look. Really, it should be more of an adult game, or at least a game of Ellis's age, rather than some of the kids that are playing it. So I think really they should really be upping the age level, maybe making this a PG, 15 or above, or 16 or above.
So what do you think the problem is then?
Well, I don't think there's much of a problem. Well, I don't really care, really, because I got no
kids. You brought the story. You've got to have an opinion, you muppet.
Well, I care in as much as... I can see his
I brought a story on. I don't care about. Okay, let's move on to the next one then.
I don't care about Fortnite as much. I can see him, you know, youngsters playing violent video games should really be an issue for parents. You can probably speak more about that than me, but
I'm going to keep firing your questions here. Is it violent?
Well, it is fairly violent, isn't it? You're shooting people.
No, you're not. You're shooting cartoon characters.
Okay. Well,
that's the thing. I'm being really picky here, mate, and I'm not trying to take the piss. I'm just going to say, right, there's everyone going, oh, you know, it's not good. It's people running around and shoots. It means that people are going to, in America particularly, are going to go out and get automatic weapons and run around and think they can shoot people in the virtual world. And it's not that. And the kids can separate, absolutely, that it is an avatar running around. The things are deliberately nothing like realistic. They're not even close to stuff like you've got in Call of Duty or Rainbow Six or that kind of stuff where, you know, the thing at least looks like a real human being. This thing is blatantly out and out things. And when you shoot them, the damage points that come up are not realistic. You know, you just get numbers that pop up at the side. What is wrong with Fortnite, I think, is the fact that it has facilitated a level of spite, I'll say it again, which is off the charts.
Isn't there a form of bullying in there, though?
No, yeah, there's the people. Well, to be fair, you get together in bands and you have red versus blue, and it's not bullying in that sense. And you can shoot your own teammate, or you can't shoot them directly, but you can say they're up a scaffold. You can shoot the scaffold underneath them, let them drop, and then you can go and steal all their stuff. And that's the stuff where Ellis starts shouting and ranting, is when players on his team are unethical. And there is a level of spite which is unbelievable. The sum of it, I am impressed to the nth degree. So Ellis is there. He's underneath a balloon that's descending that he's going to get loads of stash of. So he builds a wall around where it's going to land so no one can come in and take the stuff. So the kid behind him jumps on top and builds a roof over the top of Ellis's walls. And then the balloon lands and the kid takes it all. Ellis is in the room absolutely spitting and hissing and swearing. The kid that's stealing all the stuff is on his team, so he can't shoot him. So the level of spite in Fortnite is unbelievable. Spite is easily one of the most poisonous of human traits, but the one that provides the greatest quantity of chuckles when it's applied.
I just think we should be letting younger kids play games like this and other computer games until they're old enough to understand the difference.
Yeah, no, the difference of what? That's my point. Go on.
I still think there's an element of violence there.
No. The kids don't see when Ellis started playing it, he was running around, he was shooting people, they were shooting him, and when he got shot and he died, that was it. He was happy, he was laughing, he was, I got done, that was the end of it. Mm. But then they got this thing where if they shoot you, you don't die, you crawl around for a while, and one of your teammates can then come and heal you. They can build a room around you, and they can put a fire down, and they can rekindle you. They've got medical packs that they can make you better again. But one of the things that they do is when they shoot you, that person, if they are safe to do so, will run up and will kill you to get all of your
stuff.
And that's when the kids get really antsy. And it's not, they're not getting violent because of the killing. They're getting violent because of the spitefulness of other players. And that's where they're bouncing off the walls. And every child I know is violently upset and shouty and aggressive about playing Fortnite, but it's got nothing to do with the violence. Whoever's saying this and saying that Fortnite is violent is off their head, because it's not.
But there was something on Twitter as well that quite annoyed me. The NSPC, the Protection of Children and all that, they were putting out a link to sign a petition to get all the social media companies to... change social media, and quite a few others were going, well, hold on a minute, these social media platforms are for adults, they're quite clearly for adults, surely these kids shouldn't be there anyway, why should we change them because children are on them when they shouldn't be there? And I really think that's where the social media companies should now do is put you need an access to a credit card, the credit card goes in, we'll charge you a penny and refund it, and then that proves that you're 18 or over. And get rid of some of the children off it. I don't know if that would work, but I think at the moment there are too many kids on there, and there's these charities are all coming in irresponsibly saying that they just need to be changed when the kids shouldn't be there.
Well, you see, now I think as well, you've got the thing there that in the story that you've picked, Harry there's no mention of the violence. What he says is the fact that the game is so addictive that kids cannot be ripped away from it, and that is causing mental health issues. That I totally agree with.
Well, yeah, because you can't utterly get Ellis away from his machines at times, can
no.
you?
No, I mean, Ellis has got to do revision now because he's reading into the exams, and we've had to say to him, right, you can have games at 8 o'clock. So you come home from school, you do all your shiz, you go through to dinner, you have dinner, and then at 8 o'clock you can start playing your games, and you get 2 hours of games before you go to bed. Because he would come in, do his homework, and then not revise and just play games till it was time for bed. And if at the weekend, if we go out, I can guarantee you he is on there for 18 hours in the day, maybe.
Surely there is at this time of year, they're just revising at school anyway. They're not giving him anything new to do, surely.
Not really. They're doing revision, but he wouldn't do the revision. The revision would be cursory if we didn't make him do it for a longer period of time.
Because I don't know. I left school just after Easter. Then you only went back if you wanted to.
Yeah.
The teachers would set up revision classes, but they weren't compulsory.
That would depend on where you were born in the year. Because if you were born later in the year, then you couldn't. If you were already 16, you didn't have to go back. But if you were under 16, you had to stay.
And that's
still the case, I think.
I got hung back a year because of my birthday, so I was older than most people. Okay. I can see there's a problem with I think it's got to be with parents. Parents aren't taking their responsibility. I know you do.
I do, but there's a certain point where it's easier not to have the aggravated argument with my son over something that he is generally addicted to, yes. And there is an addiction element to it. It is if I lock you away from it and throw away the key to see you go cold turkey, unlike anything else like drugs, he's not going to go cold turkey. He's just going to become aggressive and nasty about the fact that he can't get what he wants. But I also get, and this is a big part that people forget, is that my son has a lot of friends who he speaks to across the world on his PS4. So he'll be sitting playing a game. He's not actually playing a game with them. He's just, they're online, he's talking to them, they're interacting. There's a group of 10 friends that sit and chit-chat and shoot the breeze, and it's pleasant. His social life is online, and he's interacting with real people in a real way. It's not virtual people, and he's not at risk because he can hear their voices, he knows they're the same age as him and that kind of stuff. It's his social life, and there's a bit of me that finds it very hard to take that away from him. Batwain says, is it me or am I not a good gamer? I would be willing to protect someone until they regen. I couldn't kill someone to get their stuff. You would in the end. And Ellis rails about the fact that people kill him to get his stuff, but he does it as well. So it's like you can go, well, you're a bit of a hypocrite there, mate. And then he goes, well, no, I'm not. And there's a lot of kids on there that do help. Teammates do help you regenerate if it's safe to do so, if they're close to you and if they're not at risk themselves. But if you've just been shot, generally, you are. So, Muller, she's saying, Batwinch says, Muller says, Muller, they have a shitload of exams, way more than we did. And that's the truth. He's got loads of exams. And some of the questions he's got are just ridiculously hard.
Well, I think kids are competing on a more global scale than we had to when we were kids.
Yeah, but it's like people go, you know, it's a different world from when we were kids. And my parents were telling me the same thing. So,
yeah, of course. Probably a lot more difficult for us to go through school than it was for our parents.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got a good idea, if you work hard, if you're an entrepreneurial brain, you'll still succeed in life. It doesn't matter whether you got qualifications or not.
Well, some of the richest people in this country didn't get qualifications.
No, absolutely.
Alan Sugar keeps on boasting about it. So,
yeah.
And there's one or two others. But
I walked out with virtually nothing from school. Did it all afterwards.
Mm.
And I played video games. I had a Binatone. I played Pelota and Paddle. Yeah. And I had a shooting game on it. And I had a ZX Spectrum. I turned out all right.
Yeah. I didn't get my first ZX Spectrum until I was 19, 20. 35. No, I had to. Well, remember when the first ones come out, you had to build them yourself. They came in a kit. It wasn't till the second gen. I think it was ZX80 when you had to build it yourself. That was quite interesting. You had to do all your soldering and put all your chips in. And then the later one, the ZX81, come in less chips, didn't it? It was called something else in America, wasn't it, Jeff?
So tell me about, what is it, the ZX80?
The ZX80 was like the ZX, it was the Cambridge, what was his name? Flipping hell.
Sinclair.
Clive Sinclair.
Oh, okay.
ZX80 and ZX81 and then ZX Spectrum.
They were called something different in America. The ZX80 was, the 81, I don't think the 80 was released in America. The 81 was, but it had a different name.
And I forgot what Sinclair was calling those.
Yeah. And the Spectrum was different in America as well.
Well, didn't the Quantum get released in America under the same name, the one that really failed?
I think the Quantum was the Spectrum, but I'd have to watch the program again.
It wasn't.
But
Quantum came afterwards and it failed globally.
Yeah. There was quite an interesting film on YouTube. I posted it in the Slack room about the history of Sinclair's computers, and it was quite interesting. Certainly kick-started probably a lot of people around our age's programming careers. So most of the people in the Slack room probably remember building these computers, like the Jupiter, the ZX81-80, the Orion.
I recognize the Spectrum, so that must have been the Spectrum here in the US as well.
Yeah. I mean, he made a lot of money doing it, and then he released the Sinclair C5, which I know we talked about the other week.
Well, he was the first person to make a pocket calculator, and then obviously Texas Instruments, he was using their chip, and then they built one and out-competed him. They got so cheap, they weren't worth making, were they? So a lot of all the big companies stopped making them. But quite an interesting subject when you go back into the history of silicon dies from about 1970 onwards.
Back when she's reminiscing that she started on a Dragon 32, her dad got it as a payment for rewiring the owner of company's house. He traded it for a BBC Model B, and she's still got a working Acorn. And then Deep Pan is lamenting that the BBC Model B was a top computer. Still is, mate.
Yeah, it is.
I've never seen any BBC Model B.
Oh, it was a good looking computer. Actually, had a really nice keyboard on it as well. Really nice to type on. Like the old Dell keyboards that used to be with the real clickety clacks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, like those big old IBM keyboards too.
The original Dell keyboards when Dell started.
Love those keyboards.
First started were absolutely gorgeous. They were lovely to type on. Really good.
Yeah.
My story is the golden age of YouTube over?
No.
I think it's definitely ready for a competitor of some sort.
Well, it's interesting that the story on The Verge today says that the golden age of YouTube is over. And one of the things that they cite is the fact that YouTube has now moved away from monetization for a very large number of people that previously would have got decent monetization from working there. The process of like getting your URL, so it's / British Tech Network. We've got that, but that's gone now unless you've got more than 500 subscribers. So you've got to do an awful lot to get 500 subscribers, and then you've lost your opportunity anyway. And you've got then this process whereby the heroes, the independent creators of YouTube have all been demonized. You know, the Logan Pauls, I think he probably is a significant dick to start with in the first place. But, everyone's looking for stories to demonize all of the people that are originally, great YouTube creators and that got the platform where it is. And now they're looking to go to all the mainstream stuff, Ellen's Channel or Vivo and that kind of stuff. And they don't want the independent creators anymore. And the thing is, does this facilitate the option then of independent creators going other places? Because they can't go to Vimeo, because Vimeo is just way too expensive for a lot of those kids would want to do.
Also, I said there's the sort of the field I think is ripe for a disruptor to come in and offer a place for these creators, to sort of settle.
That's my question is, you would feel that there is, but I don't know if they will. Because no one can cope with the amount of volume. The thing that was brilliant about YouTube was it started with people making 10 videos a day. And you're talking about a billion videos every 2 hours going up now.
I know. But the thing is that it's an awful lot more possible for an independent vendor to come up with a scalable system now because of, the cloud services that AWS and Microsoft offer. So there's more possibility to build your own, to start to roll your own company like this than there was when YouTube first came out. Because when YouTube first came out, you had to own the hardware and get it going.
Yeah.
And now you don't necessarily have to. I mean, there's all sorts of storage options. There's all sorts of scalability options to get you to the point where you could actually start, purchasing your own hardware and doing that stuff. There's an awful lot more. Prove your concept. It's an awful lot easier for someone to prove their concept and get their concept off the ground and get it going and keep it going while they, while they roll their own in-house solution. So I think that the market's kind of ripe for it, and there are structures in place for people to compete at scale.
Go, Jeff, you going to say something?
I think that a lot of people are coming at this from the wrong angle. This isn't about is YouTube's golden age over, therefore the market is open for the next YouTube. I don't think that's going to happen.
I agree.
I don't think it'll be exactly YouTube. I think it'll be something else, but yeah.
It's what I think it's going to be is this push into podcast aggregation, Spotify is trying to do this, and there's a couple other companies that are trying to become podcast hubs in essence. And I think those are the places that have the highest likelihood of being the video competitors. And so then instead of going to YouTube and just signing up for all the channels, you go and pay for your subscription to whatever podcast service it is that you like, and then you watch the videos through there, and we don't have one single giant video company like YouTube. It's these medium size companies, and now instead of just calling them YouTube channels, they will call them podcasts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that. Video casts.
But I mean, YouTube's not going to be destroyed until it destroys itself, and that's the point. Is this the first wave where it started for the process of destroying itself?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's an awful lot of crap on there, isn't it? You find some interesting channels. I mean, particularly before I rebuilt my PC, I did have a look at some of the bigger creators and go through their channels. I mean, I knew how to build one. It's just that there's such a lot of things changed, isn't there? And that, you know, the cable management and possible better ways and a better kit and what I could buy. And there was certainly some help on there. If YouTube disappears, we're going to lose really a library. I think there was one thing I wanted to do is how to I wanted to change the battery in my car key. Ford wanted £30 to do it. It cost me £5 for two batteries. And I went online to find out how to change the battery in my car key. Mm. And it's dead easy. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. Ford want to overcharge for it. So I wouldn't have known.
Surely
to do that.
Not.
Well, I wouldn't have known.
Not Ford. Oh, but Ford's a tremendous standing company.
Well, they're all the same, really, aren't they? But
yeah.
I mean, I had to go through many, many, many different videos before I actually found one, because...
Sit still, man. Oh, Jesus.
That's me bones, mate. I can't help
just
it.
Just sit still.
Someone spray him in WD-40 quick.
I watched one of Ewan's links earlier, and I still... anyway... don't just think it. You can learn how to fix an awful lot, or find out how to do something on YouTube, and have someone. I mean, there's an awful lot of awful ones, but there's always a couple of gems. So I'd be upset if it disappeared.
Well, in one case, it's a problem when you make the ability for everybody to become a content provider, a content creator. A lot of people make crappy content. I mean.
Well,
there's a lot of real garbage channels out there, but there's a few that are pretty interesting, and there's a lot of diversity, which gives you the ability to sort of find what you're looking for.
But if you look at what a lot of people watch, and this is the real issue, I think. You look at my preferred viewing feeds when I go to the homepage, and most of what I want to watch is from independent providers. If you look at what my daughter watches, most of what she watches is from independent providers. I don't think that there's a lot of people watching a lot of things that are mainstream. In certain groups, certainly in kids, I think they will look for stuff which is craft-based, or they'll... My daughter loves life hacks. She is absolutely addicted to life hacks. There was a thing out this week about different ways to tie your shoelaces.
Yeah.
And I know 10 people who watched that video and told me about, oh, there's this great video about how different ways to tie your shoelaces. And Bryony showed it me the other day. I said, yeah, I saw that the other day. And she was like, what? How did you see that? I said, the girl I was in the car with, she was watching it on the way home. And she's like, what? So,
why do you need 10 ways to tie a shoelace?
Oh, it's more than 10, mate. It's
there's hundreds.
No, and it's really good and really creative and kind of cool stuff. But it's just the... I think the worst thing I could do is I sit down and I sit something rendering, and it's like, what am I doing while this is doing this? Because it's going to be, I can't edit, it's too slow to edit as well as. And I'll pull YouTube up and then I'm lost. And I've watched remote control planes. I've watched a drone crash. I've watched...
fall down the YouTube hole.
A program. I do fall down it.
Yeah, you do. And you kind of follow links off links, don't you?
Yeah. Here's the next video. Oh, that's really cool.
I mean, there's a bloke called Nostalgia Nerd. He's obviously of a certain age, and you start watching one of his videos, you go, oh, I had one of them. And I ended up watching it till 4 in the morning, him taking apart computers that were probably ones I first used. And no, it wasn't Babbage's computer, before anyone says anything.
Bob Beach has put, my wife loves YouTube. She's learnt how to become a really useful sewer. by a YouTube video.
Well, she needed to. She's ready to bob.
When I grow up, I want to be a sewer. It's a shit job, but I'm up for it.
You could waste that. I love being dyslexic. Can't you? And they were all moaning on YouTube recently about the strikes. I mean, nearly all the American content creators were really upset about it. One of them was Carey, but he was upset with a bloke called, a Canadian guy. I can't remember his name now. But the Canadian guy didn't name Carey, but said, look, this was not my fault. It was the AI of Google basically highlighted some of the content in his video as mine.
Oh, there was a takedown, was there? A takedown notice?
There was, yeah, and Kerry got a strike. But basically what happens is Kerry and him used similar software to show things, and the screenshots were similar. They weren't even the same, and even he admitted it. He says, once I'd done the due diligence, we contacted Google and said, it's not the same. And even if it was, we wouldn't mind. Apparently Google's AI identifies, I mean, a lot of these videos, they all put machines in and then use the same programs, don't they, to test bed them. And they all get identified as each other's videos. And it's happening.
Well, it's actually funny because some of the AI is just faulty. I mean, it's not that smart yet.
Well, there's an awful lot of trolls out there as well, though. So if you make a video and you purchase some royalty-free music, there's people out there who made the royalty-free music who assume automatically that you've stolen it. So they've got people scrolling the algorithms and getting your content badged so that they can get income from it. And actually, some of them are quite good, because when you go, I purchased this legally on your counterclaim, they instantly take the thing away. They're not bad at all.
Yeah, you talked about that a couple of weeks ago, about where you'd run into that yourself.
Mm. Do one a month, so.
Oh, yeah.
But there's people out there who've put, and I'm not joking this, there are people out there who've taken the Apple Music loops and put them into algorithms that are trolling around YouTube to get those down and get the copy from them. And Google's It's not Apple. Sorry, Apple's not controlling it, and Google are letting them. You're having a laugh. That's a piece of Apple Music that's royalty free that you can use anytime, anywhere, for any purpose. You can stick it on a porn video, and Apple wouldn't say a word.
Yeah.
But these guys are running around. A lot of them Brazilian, I have to say. Not there's anything wrong with Brazilian people. I know we have Brazilian listeners, but they're people based in Brazil who troll around and do it. There you go. Good discussion. I'll edit, don't worry. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by TSO Host. Please look after them because they look after us. We need you to take to social media and to go out there and say thanks at TSO Host for supporting at British Tech. That's all you've got to do. It's dead easy, and if we get everybody who listens to our shows doing that, then they will be around for a very long time, which means the shows will be around for a very long time. If the shows disappear, then or if the hosting disappears, we haven't got any mechanism of getting this out, and we'll disappear. That's simple as that. So please, please, please make sure you support them. You can also support us. First thing you can do is come to the Bash this year. We need 60 full-playing adults in order to break even on the Bash. So get yourself booked up for a ticket, britishtechnetwork.com/bash tickets, and you can order your ticket now. It's £25 for an adult and £5 for a child. All your food and booze is provided, and there's local hotels listed there and stuff like that you can come to. It's a good fun weekend, but we need 60 people. If we haven't got 60 people 1 month before, then there will be a refund of tickets and we will not run the Bash this year. You will have had your last one. We'll just have a few people around who can stay in local hotels and that kind of stuff and have a bit of fun with us in the garden. Maybe 10 people or so. But Patrice is definitely coming, so you'll get to meet Patrice.
Patrice is awesome. Patrice, if you haven't met him, right, you should.
No, when is the Bash? What?
27th of July. Good point. I didn't say when it was. 27th of July. Yeah.
So. Well, I'll have to check my schedule if there's any way I can get out there for it. I'd love to come out for it.
Oh, that'd be awesome, mate. Superb. Yeah.
You could do your first Microsoft show.
Or at least a dry run.
Oh, right. You mean 27th of July this year? No, sorry. No, I can't. And if you'd like to support the network, we do a show called The Daily Show, and we pay Carl Swagger in the Philippines to do that. It's a wonderful show, 5 minutes long, all the best shows, tech stories of the day. And Carl gets paid to do that. And we do that from donations from people. So if you can go to britishtechnetwork.com/subscription, you can give us $5, $10, or $20 a month. So it's not even the price of a coffee. And you get a great show in your inbox every day that you can listen to. It's superb. And it's in the top, it's on the What's Hot list at the moment on the iTunes charts. And the other thing is renew your review of us. So go on to iTunes, take your review down and put a new review up. And we're going to find a way of trying to trawl through the internet and pick all of those. But when we do, then we'll read them all out and it'll be good fun. Please, please, please do that. And also make sure you check out Wirecast from Telestream. And things like ScreenFlow, that comes from Telestream as well. Some great software from a wonderful provider. They look after us with demo copies of Wirecast so that we can keep doing the stuff here for that as well. And also check out Hoya, because I love, love, love my glasses. I miss them when they're not around. And even though they don't fit my face as well anymore because I've shrunk, I still love them. They're still comfortable, and they're still like eye extensions.
What's it cost for you to get them to adjust them when your head shrinks like that?
Free.
Oh, it's free. Awesome.
Yeah, I make films for Hoya as well, so I look after them, they look after me, and we strike up a deal. But these are provided by Hoya.
What about for a normal human being?
I have no clue. I don't know. But the problem is my face shrank after I got my face measured, so I wasn't the chubby fat bastard that I was when I started. Adjusted them a little bit to help. It's only things like bringing in the stems and stuff like that and beefing up the nose bridge a little bit. My nose has shrunk. Not a lot. But enough. Cool. Time for the cool thing. Start us off, Atlee.
Okay, so I thought this actually looked rather interesting, and it's kind of a silly thing, but it's definitely fun. You can take any picture and trace it with this thing, and then it will make a pancake of that picture.
Can you do it with ebooks?
Sure, you can trace an ebook. You could literally trace the paper. We're talking about tracing your ebooks down. You can make a pancake out of it, read it, and eat it.
Does this thing cook the pancake then as well?
You own it. Yes, it cooks it.
Holy crap. $1,300 Canadian dollars. Is that like 40 pence?
No, it's probably about 1,000 pounds.
No way. You've got like $2 to the pound, haven't you? $2 to the Canadian dollar.
No, we're not that far down. We're just off the American right now. Hold on.
I'm watching the video for this thing.
Looks like
you know what would make this killer is if it had multiple batter squirters.
Sorry, so 744 coloring. Sorry.
Do I want to pay £744 for a Neil
Armstrong? Oh, yeah, no, as I said, it's crazy. I would never buy it, but it's cool. Neil Armstrong, it's cool, and you could buy it if you wanted to.
Right. Oh, you got to sit and draw it out and tell it what to do.
Yeah, you can trace it out, or I'm sure that there's probably a collection. It's just like when you do 3D printing. I'm sure there's probably traces out there that you can get that you could then load into the printer and have it print something for you.
Dinosaur. An Einstein. Oh, the Einstein's a bit shit.
I just thought it was interesting. It's kind of a bizarre sort of way that 3D printing is now sort of going towards
for
food.
For $1,000, it doesn't flip the pancakes for you?
Exactly. There's also a thing here from Deepan, and he's saying, are you sure this wasn't listed on Monday? Which of course was the first.
I get that, but no, it wasn't. It was a Kickstarter that went out in 2015, and they apparently made it, so people were obviously buying it.
Wow. Who?
I don't know.
People who love pancakes.
I thought it was cool. It's kind of interesting, printing a design for food.
It's great for kids. But
I can see it as being sort of the early evolution of, you know, the food creator in Star Trek.
Do I need to love my kids enough to buy them a £700 pancake printer? No, I don't. Get a piping bag and learn some art.
You just write down, eat your effing breakfast.
Just get get squirt in the pan with a piping bag. N-O.
Yeah, exactly. Nope. I thought it was rather interesting.
Good pick. No, it's fun. It's cool. And if I had 700 quid to burn, then I would buy one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if I could
eat pancakes.
That kind of money that £700 for a pancake maker made sense to me. Yeah.
I think Atlee's in the pockets of the maple syrup producers.
I can't eat flour at the moment, so I've been trying to do it with almond flour and coconut flour, and coconut flour is the food of the devil. It is horrific stuff. It does nothing nice. It tastes horrible, and it's like, why would you even begin to think about using it?
Oh, geez. Oh, so you're looking for alternate flours? Is that what you're saying?
Sorry?
You're trying to find different flours? Is that what you said?
Yeah, almond flour is not too bad. It's good for things like cookies, and it's all right for chocolate brownies, that kind of stuff. But coconut flour is shit.
Yeah, no.
Jeff, what have you got for us, mate?
I have, here it is. Okay. I have a Kickstarter project that just came in. So we're doing an unboxing. Actually, I already tested it because I wanted to make sure it worked before it was my pick. But
did it come in on Monday?
You would think, but no. So anyhow, here's what this is. This is a USB-C dock for the iPad Pro.
Cool.
And it has 4K HDMI, USB-C for charging, two SD card slots, USB-A, and a headphone jack. And on the edge, let's see, are you getting good focus on that?
Yeah,
it has this lip that you can pop off and replace with this. So if you want to have it so that instead of
loose,
having it
that might be a bit safer for the connection as well, not breaking off in the iPad and that kind of stuff, I guess.
Yeah, but the way they designed it, actually, let me take the cover off so you can see it better.
Great.
Let's see if I can actually get the cover off without breaking my Apple Pencil. There we go. Okay. So the way it attaches, that lip actually wraps around the iPad. So it adds a little bit of stability. So, it actually fits nicely on there. And they've just started delivering to their Kickstarter or Indiegogo, I forgot which it is, to their people that signed up through there. So once they run through all of those initial purchases, then they'll start selling them on their store. And they're saying that the list price is going to be $99, but I doubt it, because when I ordered mine, it was I want to say like $50. So I can't imagine that they're really going to be double the price when you buy them once they're just commercially available.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be double the price. I think they'll charge $149 for them.
Yeah,
just because they can, and people of Apple products will pay too much for things.
Mm-hmm.
They do it regularly. I mean, it's not like $99 actually seems fairly cheap for any real Apple peripheral or accessory.
Well, the price that they listed in their Kickstarter or Indiegogo for retail was $99.
Yeah. So, yeah, and that'd be really cool if it did.
Yeah, we'll see what they actually charge.
I can totally see them doing double what they offered it for the people that came up.
But the nice thing, in addition to being able to use it with my iPad Pro, since my MacBook Pro is USB-C, I can use it there too if I need extra ports. So I could plug my HDMI adapter that I already have into one port on my Mac, plug this into another, and then I could rent two HDMI displays off of my laptop. And if my laptop lid is open, there you go. I have a three display computer. So it works with more than just my iPad.
Well, your processor support it. That ends up being the issue, right? Is that it's not necessarily the...
My processor will support it. That's not a problem. Yeah.
That's good.
But yes, you're right. Yeah. If you can add all the ports you want, but if you don't have the hardware to back up those extra ports, then you're kind of screwed.
Yeah. Yeah. So we sort of displayed to me what the major flaw in that dock is that I don't know anybody that has an iPad that doesn't have it in a case. And having to pop it out of the case every time you want to use it with the dock.
Oh,
and
no.
Also, does the dock really make it less wieldy to be able to prop up in certain ways? It does look like it stays out of the way for sort of a landscape view.
I popped the case off portrait. Just so that you could get a better view.
Ah. It fits fine with most cases that are available? Because, I mean, most of the cases I've seen just leave that port bare, and they don't really leave lots of space on either side of the port, right? That looks like it butts right up.
All the cases that I have looked at so far, they cover just the corners. So this whole space down the middle, that would be open.
But
they also have another edge piece in case that fits better. Plus they have the one with the cord.
So
whatever you have, it'll work with.
Yeah, I'm just worried about, especially when putting any peripheral on a tablet, you worry about the shearing off ability. Like how will it fail? Like, I'm curious to see how the build is set up to fail. If it gets knocked hard enough, will it actually damage the inside of the iPad, or is it built to break apart so it breaks off of it without damaging the iPad? Because I'd prefer that in any case.
Well, what I'm hoping is that we never have to test that, at least on mine.
Obviously, you want it to never have that, but it's always good to know that it's, you know, how it's designed to make sure that you don't have to replace a, you know, $1,000 device because of a $99 accessory that gets knocked when you're not expecting it there.
Have we addressed Bob's question there? Because he's put the iPad Pro can't access an external storage unit, so he's just SD and a micro SD slots for accessing photos.
There are some peripherals I've seen that will add external storage kind of as a hack. So potentially the port that USB port could be used for that. What I think is that when this was designed, they were doing two things. First, hedging their bets that Apple will eventually add support for direct external storage. But then also knowing that because it's USB-C, you can use it with with the new MacBook line that's USB-C ports, and then that gives you a USB-A port there.
So some of it's not actually necessarily intended for the iPad as it sits now, or the iOS the way it sits now. It's sort of there to give you other options to use with other device sort of paradigms.
Sure. And some future proofing for just in case.
Yeah, just in case. Yeah. It's not a bad idea. It's a nice looking dock. It looks like it's clean and sleek. And how much does it weigh? What's the build quality feel like? Does it feel like a thin plasticky thing, or does it have sort of the same sort of ionized metal feel that the Apple products itself has?
It feels nice and sturdy. The body itself actually is metal.
Oh, nice. That's good. Yeah.
The lip, that is a plastic piece, and it screws on.
Oh, okay.
So they even give you the little screwdriver and extra screws so that you can swap out that piece if you need to and don't have to go looking for tools.
Now, those little screws on there, are they the kind that are sort of held in the place so that they don't end up unscrewing all the way out and falling out of it? Or are they basically, you've got to make sure you keep track of them?
Well, based on the piece that, or one of the extra pieces, it looks like it would hold them, but you can screw them all the way out. But yeah, okay. It has
so like you could force it to screw all the way out, but you don't necessarily have to, and it won't just the screws won't just fall out of it when it's unscrewed.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
That YouTube teardown video was brought to you by Jeff and Adam.
No, I mean these are things that like when you go to get a peripheral, these are things that are important. I mean they're the things that when you end up buying a peripheral and you buy the wrong one, they're the little things that end up driving you absolutely crazy.
You ask so many questions there, you'd never buy anything. You wouldn't have time. Shop would be closed before you left.
That's why I shop online. It doesn't close.
I'm getting the vibe that Atlee don't like iPad add-ons, says Deepan.
No, I didn't say that I didn't like it. It's actually a decent, it looks like a decent add-on. It looks like it's well built. I was just curious to see how it felt, how it was, you know, designed, that's all.
I need to finish the show before I die, so we'll move on. what's your cool thing?
I already put the link in. You've probably seen it already.
Now, I recommended this last year, so you obviously bought it because I recommended it, and you're damn fine right, mate.
Is this the actual one you bought, though?
Yeah, there's two of them sat down here next to me.
All right, yeah. It is damn fine. It even charges my iPad Pro.
Yeah.
Which I was quite surprised because I've got a couple of these things with USBs in, and they don't provide enough power, but this one does. It charges my iPad perfectly. As I said, I bought this because I was plugging in my computer and the original Surge Protector one I was using went bang, nearly blew my hand off. But this is great because it's got two sets of buttons and you can put main things on the top, push the one button, turn them on, and you can have like external hard drives and leave them turned off unless you need them on, which... yeah, it's really good. I'm going to get another one of these, I think, for the other end of the room. So, cracking piece of kit.
Well worth buying. The only thing I will tell you as a caveat is it's got six USB hubs or six USB power supplies down each side, which are 2.1 amps. If you plug six things into it, none of them work.
Yeah, I could imagine that, especially if you put an iPad in it.
No, I did it for charging batteries, and I plugged six in, and none of them were charged the next morning.
I only use a couple of them at a time. It charges two things at a time.
Yeah, it'll do a couple, but I don't know why they put six ports on there, because you can't put six things in it.
I haven't tried putting six things in it. I didn't think it would charge the iPad. I just chanced my arm, and it did. So, but for that alone, it's... I mean, how much is a replacement iPad charger for a Pro? It's got to be 20-odd notes, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And this means now I've got one, sitting on the cupboard. So, and plus it does other things as well, so I'm well chuffed with it.
It is. It's a good buy. Best $37.99 I spent, and I bought three of them, so.
All right. You can get them in the U.S. also.
Mm.
They are good. $39.99 in the U.S., and there's one for $49.99 that puts a Qi wireless charging pad in the top.
We'll put the link in.
I do some stuff for like I carry around a bit for an Apple TV for casting from my phone and stuff like that if I'm doing a presentation to people. So I've got double-sided Velcro pads that are on the bottom of the Apple TV and the top of this, so the Apple TV sticks on top. And then I've got an HDMI splitter that sits on top that's got buttons on the front that allows me to switch between three HDMI sources. And that's my little permanent setup. It goes in a bag, take the back with me, and I just pull it out, sit it on the side, plug it in, and that's it, it's off.
What I do like about this, though, is it's got like a rubber on the bottom, hasn't it? It just doesn't move.
No, it's good. And it feels like it's not going to flame out and burst into flames at night when you've left it plugged in.
And it weighs a ton, doesn't it? It's not
cheap. It is very heavy, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the cheaper one. There's three of them. They go up in about £20. The top one's about £99, but it's got... twice the number of sockets on it.
You get eight sockets for standard plugs and then six USBs, but like I said, you can't use all of that at the same time. There does seem to be very much a power limit on it. So,
which I
could understand with the sockets in case you've got something that's got a big draw on there, but I can't understand it with the 2.1 amp USB 3 because they should charge a lot faster. And they should carry six and they don't.
Well, I'll test it. Maybe they've upgraded it since, I don't know.
Mm.
We'll see.
Excellent. Where can we get hold of you, Atlee?
You can reach me at on the Slack channel, and you can also reach me at Atlee Hunter on Twitter and on Instagram.
I was going to scream Alzheimer's there. Like, I've forgotten who I am.
He's probably on the phone to Best Tech at the moment asking him 50 questions.
So if I plug this into my iPad, you know, I don't, because I've got to be careful with my iPad accessories. Even though I haven't got an iPad, I've got a Surface.
That's pretty funny. I actually have an iPad as well.
Do you know, I do a Microsoft, well, I would do a Microsoft show, but I haven't started yet. But anyway, I do a Microsoft, well, I will do a Microsoft show. Did I tell you I'm moving? Oh, he's never coming on again now. Look at that look on his face. He's never coming on again. That's right. You've taken the piss out of me once too often, Rankin. You can shove your Microsoft show up your ass.
Oh, dear.
Jeffrey, where would you be?
I'm over at smilesoftware.com and textexpander.com.
Doing webinars of the fantastic piece of software that is TextExpander.
Oh, thank you. It is. It is absolutely awesome. And Atlee, yes, it is cross-platform, Mac and Windows. Excellent. And iPhone and iPad too.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah. Great piece of
software. Let's see. Where was I? Oh, yeah. Text Expander. It's awesome.
Have you got Text Expander, Atlee?
No.
Dude, what is wrong with you?
Right. There you go. Jeff will get you an NFC code and you can come on and rave about it next week.
If you don't
try and sell it to him, Jeff, because you'll be here all night.
Oh, no. What I'm going to say is shoot me an email. Give me your – yeah, shoot me an email. And then Jeff G at smilesoftware.com. Okay. And then I'll get you hooked up with a media license.
Jeff, Monday morning, okay. You're going to get 25,000 emails.
Oh, yeah, you may not.
Asking for an NFC for – Smile software.
Yeah, but there's only one that I'm going to give out.
Aww.
And that's because our Atlee is special.
That's because you. That's because there was a bit of love swapped when you were talking about specs for that thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm on Twitter and Instagram, Jay Gamut, both places.
Excellent. Superb.
Awesome.
Muller, where can people get hold of you?
Twitter. Sorry, I forgot myself then. But Muller Biker. And also on Instagram and in the Slack room.
Bob Beach says, I've got Text Expander. Had it for years.
Excellent. And that's because Bob Beach rocks.
Yeah. And Muller's still doing a fantastic job, mate, booking guests.
Oh, is he criticising me?
No, I said that.
Oh, sorry.
I'm taking the piss. That was a compliment. That was a thank you. Okay. I'm not going to.
We don't know how to recognize those from you.
Atlee's learning. He's actually learning. Yeah, French loving foreigner. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can get the network on @BritishTech. And you can follow us on all of the platforms. We've got fan pages on Facebook and all that kind of stuff as well. And there's loads you can interact with us. And we've got a Slack room. If you want to get in the Slack room, then send me an email to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com with Little Pig, let me in. And I will send you a login. And you can come and interact with all of us and shoot the breeze about stuff that just doesn't matter. And Martin is the only Brexiteer in the entire room. So he is, by default, chief tea maker, as long as he promises not to put any lies in it. So there you go.
That seems only fair.
We'll be back again next week on Friday as normal. Normal times for the shows. We moved Mac this week because I had to come back from town. But we'll be back at normal time next week. So 4 p.m. for the Mac show and 8 p.m. for the big show. If you want to come watch live, it's a load of fun. There's loads of stuff that goes on that you don't see in the podcast. It's well worth turning up for before and after. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening. Cheers, boys.
Hey.
That was fun, as always.
It was. It was really fun. I enjoyed that. That was a nice one. Some good piss taking.
Sorry about the Brexit joke.
No,
that was quality, I'm just going to send you a jug of piss one day.
That is absolutely quality, that Brexit. Line. That was super.
That was good.
Just like, oh my God, shame has got no bounds.
But seriously, it's a term people are using here now.
It's not. You see, it was bad enough when it was a British term, but now it's a global term. My God.
Uh huh.
If it ends up in Merriam-Webster, then you know you failed.
Yeah.
But it'll be spelt without an I.